Scribes are more than secretaries. Lincoln here, and welcome to another Divine Downloads. This is your Biblical Muse for the Confused, where we mentor biblically literate males to explore challenging spiritual issues to make your family strong. And we welcome you to another Divine Download. This one is exploring functioning as a scribe under the title Scribes Are More Than Secretaries. And we just start with our disclaimer quickly, and we welcome your attention and application. So in our disclaimer, we thank the Holy Spirit and we pray, Father, that you breathe on every character in this power book in Jesus' name. This exhortation represents what I believe Yah allows us to capture on this topic of scribes operating as a scribe. And as 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 21 proposes, we suggest thorough personal examination and scrutiny before any application. Your comments and questions can be submitted in the Anchor comments section, or I think it's now podcast on Spotify, or Spotify for Podcasters app. Let's introduce this topic of the gift of scribe. So in our introduction, Jesus tells his men that in these last days, he has given us prophets, wise people, and scribes. We went through the prophets before in another earlier Divine Downloads, and the wise people, the wise wisdom practitioners. Now we're on the scribes. And this showcases the three of the apex gifts that families and churches require for what are called eschatological purposes, or purposes to conclude the plan of God for redeeming humans. So, for humanity to partner in concluding Yah's plan to free us, we must hear him clearly, that is the prophet, understand how to constructively apply what we are hearing, wisdom, and document and interpret well, the scribe. Ultimately, these are gifts from Jesus, and we are tasked to steward these gifts well for him. And these are gifts from Jesus as well as for Jesus. They're not our gifts. Many see scribes as just secretaries. This is incorrect, as scribes, beyond recording, also interpret and clarify teachings. For those who try to belittle the scribe's role without scribes, there probably would be no Bible. This Divine Download's purpose, therefore, is to assist in understanding and stewarding the scribe gift, so that this group can be more loving and godly, so Christ's body can develop more to match him in maturity. In earlier Divine Downloads, we spoke about macrocephaly, where the head is bigger than the body, or more mature than the body. And we are saying that the spiritual gifts are important in ensuring the balance between the head, who is Jesus Christ, and the body, the church. Without the spiritual gifts and understanding these gifts, we will suffer, as we said, spiritual macrocephaly in our homes and wider community. Who is a scribe? After my earthly dad graduated this earth, I inherited a whole bunch of papers that he wrote. At that point in my subsistence, I was unsaved and angry and rejected them. And I do hope that whoever inherited them is better off. I now see that in addition to a pastor, intercessor, administrator, and teacher, amongst other functions and gifts that I believe my dad operated in, he was also a gifted scribe. A scribe is an official that writes and interprets laws on the behalf of legislators. The scribe isn't a lawmaking or legislative function, but a documenter and interpreter. Purpose of a scribe, and we're calling this section the two L's. So this divine download proposes two purposes for scribes, namely, number one, leadership. And we see leadership as a common purpose. It also is a purpose of the persons who practice in the gift of wisdom. Leadership. All Hebrew kings were to be scribes, as Yah commanded that each king should write out his own copy of the law code. And that's in Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. The printing press was invented in Germany in 1436, which is way outside of biblical times. And so, manually reproducing literature would be the main publishing method. And Yah wants all leaders with access to his Torah or his teachings. So scribing is one way to promote good leadership by exposing leaders to Yah's teachings. If you want to figure out the next L, we encourage you to return after this quick break. Framing Young Minds is here. If you are missing an easy-to-read and yet deep resource to refocus your parenting on what really matters, then go to Amazon.com. Purchase at least two copies of our book, Framing Young Minds, right now, and leave us a review. Framing Young Minds condenses a lot of what we have mentored over the past 20 years concerning parenting strong children. The author or founder, Tanya Price, focuses on 8 foundational frames for Christly parenting, which parents who want children to live fulfilled lives must practice. So join us right now by going to Amazon.com, purchasing at least 2 copies of Framing Young Minds and leaving a review. Your children at any age will thank you. Welcome again to this Divine Downloads on Scribes Are More Than Secretaries, where we are exploring the gift of being a scribe. In the previous segment, we introduced a little bit about who a scribe is, and we started looking at the two L's, which are two functions of a scribe. And we said the first one was to promote leadership, as leaders in Hebrew days were to write out their own copy of the law code. So in essence, a good leader would be a scribe as well. A good leader would be a scribe. So one element of being a scribe is to promote good leadership. Here in the second L is to learn. Often, documenting something is a great way to learn about it. And often, teachers would have students repetitively write something they want them to memorize. So in memorizing the law code, in writing the law code, that's one good way of learning the law and memorizing it. So I think Yah wants kings or leaders, and we know now under Jesus Christ, as Peter spoke about, we are now all royal priesthood. So we are royalty, we are all kings based on our belief in Jesus. He shares his throne with us, and as fellow kings, we are to know the law and we are to be very acquainted with it so that we can be good leaders in our homes, in our communities. So two purposes of scribes are to promote leadership and learning, which we call this the two L's, learning and leadership and learning. Character traits of a scribe. A scribe is an important gift to Christ's body, and the existence of the Bible heavily rests on their shoulders. Here are some important character traits and skills for persons with this gift. Number one, ready in the Mosaic Law. See Ezra 7, verse 6. Ezra, and we can do a little bit of searching on Ezra, he was a ready scribe in the law. That is, he was ready, meaning he was quick, skillful, and diligent in the Mosaic Law. Now, this person must be quick and skillful in biblical studies now, not just the Mosaic law, as that law is fulfilled in Jesus, see John 5:39. So the scribe must consistently and quickly subject their opinions to the law and the gospel of Jesus. Secondly, scribe must have a prepared heart. See Ezra 7 verse 10. Ezra prepared his heart. We're going to have a little bit more detail on Ezra when we look at some scribes, some characters who operated as scribes a little bit later, God willing. But Ezra, who is a priest when the people returned, the Hebrews returned from Babylonian slavery or exile, he prepared his heart. To prepare means to make, erect, and to fashion. Heart means lib or leb, or emotions and will, that's in Hebrew. A prepared heart speaks to having emotions and desires that are able to be molded and fashioned and controlled and yet fixed for Yah's purposes. So when a heart is prepared, it means it is open to Yah's fashioning and it is closed to others. A third element of who a good scribe is, a good scribe seeks the Lord. Ezra 7 verse 10 again. Ezra sought the Lord often, and I ask often what that means when we say seek the Lord, and many people use this. This is a churchian term. If you are to see him, if Yah is omnipresent, why do we need to seek him? He should be everywhere. Is Yah hiding from us? In Hebrew, to seek is to pursue and follow. This speaks to actively engaging and questioning Yah and acknowledging him in specific situations. So seeking Yah through finances can look like using finances to engage what Yah loves, such as taking care of the poor, orphan, widows, and strangers, the vulnerable people in our community. Seeking Yah in prayer can look like putting our wants and desires aside to pray for an enemy's marriage to be restored, for example, etc. Number 4. A good scribe is meticulous. See Joshua 1 verse 8, Joshua 23 verse 6. For one to be an accurate scribe, they must be meticulous, that is, pay attention to detail. Moses taught Joshua in Joshua 1:8 to pay attention to every detail of the Torah. Also, discerning. See 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6. Scribes also can be great at discernment, as many speakers, including Jesus, can be seen as mysterious about what they really mean. Indeed, Paul touches on this when he says, "The law's letter kills, but the spirit or intent and discerned meaning gives life." See 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6. For scribes to promote life, they can write between the lines. We're going to continue next on penmanship and clarity, and we urge you to join us for the next segment. We're continuing this Divine Downloads on the gift of the scribe. Scribes are more than secretaries is the title that we're going with. And we're going through some of the character traits of a good scribe. And in our previous segment, we went through that the discernment that a scribe needs, because in many cases, you have to discern or try to read between the lines of what someone is saying and to give people an understanding of the intent and motive, the meaning behind the words that you are writing. So we're continuing now on the topic of penmanship and clarity, and we focus this on from we anchor this in Habakkuk 2 verse 2. Habakkuk speaks, write the vision, make it plain, those who see it, so that those who see it can run with it. And we are making the point that scribes must also have great penmanship, especially in those days which preceded the printing press. We said it was about 1436 that the Germans invented the printing, that the printing press was invented in Germany. Habakkuk says to write the vision and make it plain or easily understood. So this can, many people say this is not just about penmanship, but it's more so about clarity. But we believe that it's about both penmanship and clarity. Many surmise that writing was not something the average Middle Eastern resident did thousands of years ago. Also, and that so the scribe was who wrote on behalf of the community, in a sense, is one understanding of what life was like years ago, what made the scribe so important. Also, before the printing press's invention, penmanship would be very important for information to be legible. So just if someone wrote but they didn't write clearly, information could still be lost by the fact that people are not able to read it. Today, a scribe may be someone good with social media, example, good at recording and editing on various social media platforms such as Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, etc. So we're making this point that digital scribes are around now, where people are capturing sermons, capturing street preaching, capturing various discipleship content in digital media format and posting that online. So we have a lot of scribing going on in the body of Christ on social media. Also, AI sites such as Speak AI, Utter AI, and Trint offer services to transcribe speeches to text formats and are AI enabled scribes, in a sense. However, humans still have a key role to play in sensing nuances in communication. So those are some of the character traits of a good scribe. Just to go over them, must be ready in the Mosaic law, must have a prepared heart, seeks the Lord, must be meticulous, discerning, have good penmanship, and clarity. Now, let's turn to case studies of scribes in the Bible. Number one we look at is Barak, and he is mentioned in Jeremiah 32:12, Jeremiah 36:26. The name means blessed. And this is the son of Neriah, the friend of Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, we understand that Barak was of a noble family. He had distinguished acquirements. His enemies accused Barak of influencing Jeremiah in favor of the Chaldeans. And you can see that in Jeremiah 43, verse 3. He was imprisoned until the capture of Jerusalem. Jeremiah was imprisoned. By the permission of Nebuchadnezzar, he remained with Jeremiah. And this is Barak. He remained with Jeremiah at Mizpah. Afterwards, he was forced in exile. So we see Barak as someone that was with Jeremiah throughout his various travels and his various imprisonments, and he is the one that is said to have written a lot of the teachings of Jeremiah. The next scribe we look at is Huldah. We looked at her before in the prophet and divination divine downloads, and her name, of course, she's a prophetess. Her name means weasel. Interestingly, she is the wife of Shalom. She was consulted regarding the book of the law discovered by the high priest, and she resided in that part of Jerusalem called the Mishnah, the college, or the second quarter. You can see further information on Huldah in the Smith's Bible Dictionary. Ezra is another scribe, and we see Ezra as one of the main scribes in the Bible. And for those who want to know a little bit about Ezra, we encourage you to join us after the break. We're continuing on this Divine Downloads on the gift of the scribe. Scribes are more than secretaries, as we have titled this Divine Download. We finished the previous segment looking at Huldah, and she was a prophetess, but she becomes a scribe in the sense that she interprets the law heavily under King Josiah. We understood that she actually resided in a part of Jerusalem that was called the College or the Mishnah. And that was from the Smith's Bible Dictionary in our previous segment. Now we turn to our main scribe, I think, that we feel that we can learn a lot from, Ezra. His name actually means help. And we're grateful for your continued attention and application on this topic. Ezra is a scribe who led the second body of exiles that returned from Babylon to Jerusalem, B.C. about 459. He is the author of the book of scripture which bears his name, the book of Ezra. He was the son or perhaps grandson of Seraiah. You can see this from 2 Kings 25, 18 to 21. He is also a lineal descendant of Phinehas, the son of Aaron. And we see this from Ezra 7, 1 to 5. And we know Phinehas was one a major Levite, and he played a lot. Many people would say a martial kind of priest. He's a priest who had a very violent history as well. All that was in terms of Phinehas, not Ezra. All we know of Ezra's personal history is contained in the last four chapters of his book and in Nehemiah 8 and Nehemiah 12 verse 26. Of course, earlier when we spoke about some of the characteristics of scribes, we leaned very heavily on Ezra's personality and what Ezra did in Ezra 7 to showcase some of the character traits of a good biblical scribe. As Ezra was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, and he had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. And we went through a couple of these things but one of the things that stands out is that he's not just one that is teaching the law, but he's a student of the law himself. He's a practitioner of the law. He's actually practicing what he preaches, and he teaches the law, the Israel law, the Hebrew law and judgments, but he practices it. You can see the Eastern Bible Dictionary for more details on Ezra. But one of the main things that we point out, he was a ready scribe. He was prepared. He was quick and learned in the Mosaic law. And he prepared his heart to seek the Lord and to teach the law and to practice the law. We see him as a main scribe to be studied by current scribes today. Next, we move on to Timothy. Timothy, his name means honoring God, a young disciple who was the Apostle Paul's companion in many of his journeyings. His mother's name was Eunice, his grandmother Lois. They are mentioned as eminent for their piety and religious fervor in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. We don't know anything about Timothy's father apart from the fact that he was a Greek, and you see that in Acts 16 verse 1. Timothy is first brought into notice at the time of Paul's second visit to Lystra, see Acts 16 verse 2, where Timothy probably resided, and where it seems he was converted during Paul's first visit to Lystra. That's in 1 Timothy 1 verse 2, 2 Timothy 3 verse 11. The Apostle Paul, having formed a high opinion of his own son in the faith, Timothy, arranged that he should become his companion and took and circumcised him so that he might conciliate the Jews or make peace with the Jews, those Orthodox Jews, meaning that insist that anyone who is to be a Christian should be circumcised and follow the Mosaic law. Timothy was designated to the office of an evangelist, and you can see 1 Timothy 4:14, and the Eastern Bible Dictionary is a good source of some more information on Timothy. Next, we look at Luke. Luke was born at Antioch in Syria, and he was taught the science of medicine. The well-known tradition that Luke was also a painter and of no mean skill rests on the authority of many late writers. He was not born a Jew, for he is not reckoned among those of the circumcision by St. Paul if we compare Colossians 4 verses 11 with Colossians 4 verse 14. The date of his conversion is uncertain. Luke joined St. Paul at Troas, and he shared his journey into Macedonia. He probably died a martyr between AD 75 and AD 100. Luke wrote the gospel that bears his name, the book of Luke, and also the book of Acts. And you can see the Smith's Bible Dictionary for some more information on Luke. Now we're going to go into a quick recap of Mark in our next segment. Stick around for that. So pleased that you're still with us on this Divine Download on Scribes Are More Than Secretaries, where we're exploring some scribes in the Bible, the gift of a scribe. We previously looked at Luke, and we learned a little bit about him, that he was a doctor, but he was also a painter, which means that he had some good skills in terms of drawing. And we know that the way in which the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet was written, the Greek alphabet, sorry, because he was Greek, was written, it would require people who have skills in terms of penmanship, and artists are generally good at penmanship, one could say. So we learned a little bit about Luke in the previous segment. Now we're moving on to Mark. We're grateful that you're still with us and you're applying and you're paying attention. Mark was the son of Mary, a woman apparently of some means and influence. Mark was probably born in Jerusalem, where his mother resided. You can see Acts 12, verse 12. Of course, the Mark we're talking about, the Mark of the New Testament. Of his father, we know nothing, which seems to be a very common trait of many of these scribes. He was, and that tells us, we're not saying these men were fatherless, but of course, if their fathers were of some renown, as we learned earlier, that Ezra was a grandchild. He was a son of Sariah, grandson of Sariah. And Phinehas was of the line of Phinehas. If their fathers were of some note, they would have been noted. That would have been noted. But here we're seeing that a lot of these men, we don't know a lot about their fathers. This speaks to a lot of us who may think that not having a notable father can limit our operation in the kingdom of God. And we are seeing a lot of men who did not have notable fathers, but are still noteworthy, one of which is Mark. So Mark here, we're saying we don't know a lot about his father. And he was a cousin of Barnabas. We know Barnabas is a leading figure in the early church, having really stood up with Paul so Paul could get the right hand of fellowship. So Mark was a cousin of Barnabas. You can see Colossians 4 verse 10. It was in Mark's mother's house that Peter found many gathered together praying, when he was released from prison. We remember the story of Rhoda seeing Peter at the door and not even letting him in, thinking it was some kind of ghost, you know. But anyway, that was a very, very, you know, interesting story, at least from my nerdy point of view. It is probable that it was at Mark's mom's house that he was converted by Peter, who calls Mark his son. See, 1 Peter 5:13, Mark and Peter share a history of being what many people would call a traitor. Paul calls Mark a traitor for leaving them on the missionary field at a point in time. And we know the story of Peter, who many see deserted Jesus and disowned him 3 times, or the cock crowed 3 times. There's differences in how it was written in the Bible, but they both have a history of being traitors according to some. But Mark is still seen as a great scribe for Peter. He heavily writes on behalf of what the teachings of Peter. Many say Peter calls Mark his son. Mark went with Paul and he's first mentioned in Acts 12:25. Mark goes with Paul and Barnabas on their first journey as their minister or servant, but for some cause he turned back when they reached Perga in Pamphylia. Lastly, for today, for this series, we're looking at the brother called Titus. Name means honorable. He was with Paul and Barnabas at Antioch. We know Antioch was a kind of mother church for the Gentile believers in the early church. Titus accompanied Paul and Barnabas to the council at Jerusalem. See Galatians 2:1-3, Acts 15:2. We know that was a very important council where James and the other elders of the church came up with the four tenets that of the Mosaic law that should apply to the Gentiles. They should not fornicate, they shouldn't worship idols, they shouldn't eat blood, and there was one more that I can't recall. They shouldn't eat any strangled meat. So although his name nowhere occurs in the Acts of the Apostles, Titus played some role, we feel, in documenting some of what the apostles did. He appears to have been a Gentile and to have been chiefly engaged in ministering to Gentiles. And you can see Easton's Bible Dictionary for some more information on this brother called Titus. We're going to wrap up in the next segment, if life is spared. We urge you to see some of our main conclusions in the next segment. Thank you for returning as we conclude this divine download on the gift of a scribe. Scribes are more than secretaries is our title. We went through a number of scribes in the Bible in our previous segment. So in our conclusion on this topic, many in Christ's body let very important teachings slip through our grasp because of lack of documentation. One reason the Hebrew or Jewish society is so powerful is precisely the opposite, as particularly the Orthodox scholars, scribes, and Pharisees were meticulous with note-taking and developed an extensive Talmud system. They also were important in preserving the teachings of the community, from which now the Christian community has greatly benefited. Today, we benefit from many electronic means of documentation, which seemingly change the scribe's role. However, there is still a role for the scribe as one who collates and interprets digital media and curates them and stores them on playlists, etc. After my dad's death, many of his teachings were lost, and I fear this is the case for many great messianic teachers, largely because of a lack of scribes or misunderstanding of this gift and position. This divine download is geared to addressing the challenge of a lack of scribes. Without ready scribes, many families and churches will be challenged to learn and lead well. So we end with encouraging families and churches to seek to develop persons who are great at documenting teachings. Not just documenting, but also interpreting these teachings. Of course, and we know from Ezra's standpoint, practicing the teachings. So Ezra was so great as a scribe because he was ready, he prepared his heart, but he also practiced the teachings of the Mosaic Law as best as he could. And he's doing this as someone who is returning from exile into the promised land. So we want to encourage our families to see the importance of having someone who can document the history of the family, the teachings of the family or the church, and to keep those in a ready way so that others can benefit from it. I recall past history in my family. We tried to do our family tree, a whole bunch of things, and a lot of, especially minority families, have a difficulty in documenting the family history, documenting teachings from the family, notable people in the family. And we're saying that the Hebrew society is such a great society also for many reasons, but one of which is the fact that they document their teachings and their history well. And we hope that today, through this divine downloads, many other believers in the body of Christ will be urged to document the teachings in your church, in your family, and to keep those curated in a way that they can be easily accessible and beneficial to others in your family and in the body of Christ. Lincoln here from Turn to Burn. Thank you for coming to the end of another Manliness Rally with us. If you need assistance in implementing and executing or following through on the proposals, on the suggestions, on the hints that we gave you today, we encourage you to visit us at famtfamily.com and to sign up for one of our messianic programs. We also encourage you to join our Facebook family or at our Facebook handle, FamTStrong. You can also email us at connect@famtfamily.com. Lincoln encouraging you to have a great day today, crushing effeminacy. Why rob God and this world of you and your family? And until next time, be nuclear.